بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 11 in our series on the commentary on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah. In the previous lesson, we started looking at the individual evidences for each of the conditions of La ilaha illallah. So in the previous lesson, we went through the four conditions in a sequence. First of all is knowledge. You have to have knowledge of the meaning of what you're saying when you say La ilaha illallah. And that simply means that none has the right to be worshipped, none deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and nothing is worshipped in truth except Allah. So you have to have that knowledge. However, that mere knowledge in itself is not sufficient, because many of the people of disbelief, the pagans in the time of the Messenger of Allah, they knew this meaning. So knowledge and comprehension of the meaning itself is not sufficient for entry into Islam. Rather, there has to be, on top of that, yaqeen, which is certainty. So there has to be, you have to be certain that it is true. So that meaning that you've understood, that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah, then there has to be yaqeen, absolute certainty, that this is the actual truth. Yaqeen, which negates doubt. However, even with certainty that it is the truth, that still isn't sufficient for a person to enter into Islam, because many of the people of disbelief, of the various types, they had certainty that this is the truth, but it was something else that was preventing them from entering into Islam. So after certainty, then there has to be qabul. Qabul is the third condition. And qabul means that you inwardly accept that you are obligated and you are bound to act upon the requirements of this kalima. So the inward acceptance that I accept inwardly that I am bound and obligated to abide and accept by, you know, what this kalima requires from me. This is like an inward acceptance. However, still, even though someone might inwardly accept, that still would not be, would not validate his Islam until he makes actual compliance, which is inqiyad, actual compliance. And so this compliance, which is inward and outward, means to comply with whatever you have been commanded, the prayer, the fasting, the obligations, and you abide by that. Then there's the other conditions, you know, sincerity, truthfulness, and mahabbah. We looked at them. So we covered that, and then after that, we looked at individual evidences that we find in the questions and answers, and we finished the first five, and so we have the final two remaining, and so we look at those. We start from there today, inshallah ta'ala. So question number 25 is where we start today, and here ما دليل صدق من الكتاب والسنة. What is the evidence of as-sidq? As-sidq meaning being truthful. Being truthful from the book and the sunnah. And the evidence, the Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakami, he in his answer, he says, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted said, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So he said, Alif Lam Mim, do people think that they will be left saying that we believe and that they will not be tested? Indeed, we certainly tested those who came before them, And Allah came to know, certainly came to know, those who were truthful from those who were liars. That's the first verse of Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th chapter, verse 1. And other ayat as well. And then he says, وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. So he says the word very clearly, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. There is no one who testifies that there is none worthy worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, truthfully from his heart, being truthful from his heart, except that Allah has made hellfire prohibited upon him. And likewise, he said, وَقَالَ لِلْأَعْرَابِ الَّذِي عَلَّمَهُ شَرَائِعَ الْإِسْلَامِ. So likewise, we see in the hadith of the Bedouin who came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so he taught him the various legislations of Islam. He taught him like the kalima, the prayer, the obligations. And he then said to him, to which the man, the Bedouin, replied, he said, by Allah, wallahi la azidu alayha wa la anqusu minha. He said, by Allah, I will not add anything to what you've taught me, nor will I decrease from anything what you've taught me to do. So the Messenger of Allah, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he said, أَفْلَحَ إِن صَدَقَ. He said, he will succeed, he will be prosperous, if he is truthful. So these are evidences of صدق, meaning that you are truthful to what you profess. And from the signs of truthfulness, is obviously inwardly you genuinely believe in what you claim or what you profess, but also inward, outward performance of the obligations. So Sheikh Salih Al Fawzan, hafizahullahu ta'ala, he said, commenting in a related comment, as-sidqu, truthfulness, wa huwa an yaqula hadhihi al-kalima musaddiqan biha qalbuh. He says this word, this kalima, out of genuine sincere truthful belief from his from his heart. فإن قالها بلسانه ولم يصدق بها قلبه. If he says it with his tongue but his heart does not believe in it, كان منافقا كاذبا, he is a lying hypocrite. فمن الناس ومن الناس ومن الناس ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا. Amongst mankind are those who say we believe in Allah and the last day, but they do not really believe. They try to deceive Allah and those who believe. And to the end of the ayat, until Allah said, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. And they will have a tormenting punishment for that, for the lies that they, for that they used to lie. So this is Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan with a comment. And likewise, Sheikh Ahmed Al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he comments upon this answer by Sheikh Hafiz by saying that trials, al-ibtila'at, trials, they purify the believers from other than them. So Allah separates the believers from other than them by way of ibtila'at, by trials. And until, حَتَّى يَتَبَيْنَ الصَّادِقُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِ, until the truthful person is distinguished from the one who is a liar. You see that lying person, he's hesitant, and he's not the same as the truthful person. He says, وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنَا مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ فِي عَقِيدَتِهِمْ وَفِي شَهَادَتِهِمْ بِالْأُلُوهِيَّةِ وَلِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالرِّسَالَةِ وَالْمُتَابَعَةِ. He said, we ask Allah to make us from those who are truthful in their creed, in their testimony for Allah with uluhiyya, and for Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ with the messengership and with imitation and following of him. So he says, upon it is to be patient upon the path until even we find, if we find some hardship, some difficulty, some weariness, some tiredness on the path, let us continue and expect our reward from Allah. And you know, let's be firm upon the sound creed until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this brings us to the next question, which brings the seventh condition. And what is the seventh condition? Seventh condition is mahabba. And so the question is, ما دليل اشتراط المحبة من الكتاب والسنة. Now, what is the evidence for المحبة, which is love, being a condition from the book and the sunnah? So the Shaykh brings a number of ayat. قال الله تعالى, يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. So he said, O you who believe, whoever amongst you apostatizes or turns on his back from his religion, then soon will Allah bring a people whom he will love and they will love him. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse number 54. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three which, if found in a person, he will taste the sweetness of iman. أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. That Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anything besides them both. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And that he loves a man, not loving him except for the sake of Allah. وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. And that he detests to revert to kufr after Allah saved him from it, just as he detests that he should be thrown into the hellfire. So here, the Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimullah has a brief comment. He says that a man, qawnul insan, yuqaddimu ta'atallahi ala ta'ati ghayrihi, hatta walau khalafa amra man kana yuhib, فَهَذَا دَلِيلُ عَلَى مَحَبَّتِهِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. He says basically that when we see that a man, he is prepared to put obedience to Allah ahead of the obedience to other than Allah, whoever that might be. It could be his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his, you know, whoever it might be. He puts the obedience to Allah ahead of obedience to that person, even if it means that he has to oppose, those whom he loves, the command of those whom he loves. This is an actual sign of loving Allah and His Messenger. So in other words, this is like, you know, how we've talked about love being a condition, but what is the sign of love? How do you know that you genuinely and truly love Allah? It is when you put obedience to Allah ahead of obedience to the parents, to the whoever that might be, to the employer, to the leader, if it's disobedience to Allah that he's commanding you to do, to whoever it might be, kinship, blood relatives, whoever it might be, this is a sign of that you love Allah more than you love, other than him. So this is from Shaykh Ahmad rahimahullah, and as far as Shaykh Al-Fawzan hafizahullah, there's a related comment. Again, this is not a sharh from Shaykh Al-Fawzan and the other mashayikh. This is just some relevant speech that is relevant to the answer which the compiler has put together. So here Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan hafizahullah, he says, Al-Mahabba lihadhihi al-kalima. This means that you love this kalima, and walima tadullu alihi, and whatever this kalima points to or indicates. وَلِأَهْلِهَا. And likewise, for its people, that you love its people. الْعَامِلِينَ بِمُقْتَضَاهَا. Those who act upon its requirements. So it's not just love, just loving Allah. It's loving Allah, it's loving the meaning of this kalima, because obviously it is the truth. And then loving whatever it points to, indicates, which is everything else from Islam, the legislations and everything else, and likewise loving the people who act upon its requirements. He mentions the ayah in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Amongst the people are those who take besides Allah rivals in worship, and they love them as Allah should be loved. But those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 165. So the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, says, so the people of La ilaha illallah, they love Allah with a sincere love, whereas the people of Shirk, they love Allah, but they also love others alongside Him. This is the nature of the people of Shirk, that they will love Allah and they will do some of the obligations, they will pray, they will fast, and they will do things that we see, they will make umrah, they will make, you know, pilgrimage, but then they also have a love for other than Allah, so they go to the tombs and the graves and the mausoleums, and they go there and they show humility to the one in the grave, and they have love of him, and they do acts of worship, they might invoke him, they might sacrifice to him, they might do certain things, and that love, it's with a type of love and a type of humility. And in fact, some of the scholars have even said that some of these people, these grave worshippers, will go to the grave or to the tomb of a wali, and they will stand there with such humility, with the hands down and the head down, and such, you know, humility and awe, that they wouldn't even have while they are standing praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayer. And this is the nature of some of these people. And so, you know, they have such humility, love, and, you know, that is due only to Allah, but they show it, they may show it to Allah as well, but they show it to other than Allah. They show it to other than Allah as well. And this is, you know, obviously this is the way of the people of shirk. And this, the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا يُنَافِي مُقْتَضَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is something that negates the requirements of La ilaha illallah. So, this brings us to the end. Now we come to the next question. Now, as you know, there are some of the scholars from the scholars of Tawheed, the Da'wah to Tawheed, they actually added another condition. They added another eighth condition, which not all the scholars agree with, but some of them add it. And this is the one which is al-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi, that we covered earlier on. And that's why the next question is ma dalilu al-mawalati lillahi wal mu'adati li ajlihi. Right? What is the evidence for loving for the sake of Allah, having loyalty for the sake of Allah, and having disloyalty for the sake of Allah? Because, as we've seen in the previous question, mahabbah, right? That from the conditions of La ilaha illallah is to love Allah, and to love its people, and to love what it means. But that also implies at the same time, because there is iman and there is kufr, there is tawheed and there is shirk, right? And there is ahlul iman wa ahlul tawheed, and there is ahlul kufr and ahlul shirk. And so just as we have to show love for the kalima and you know, for the people who act upon it, likewise there is the opposite, right? Love and loyalty, and there is, you know, enmity and disloyalty. So this question, what is the evidence for al-mawalat wal-mu'adat? Shaykh Hafidh al-Hakimi rahimahullah, now he actually brings many long ayat. If you look in, there's loads of ayat. Here they are just summarized. It's like a page and a half of verses from the Quran. But here we'll just mention them in summary. First of those verses, he says, قال الله عز وجل, Allah the Mighty Majestic said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم. All you who believe, do not take the Yahud or the Nasara as intimate like friends and protectors. They are intimate friends and protectors to each other. And whoever, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ whoever, مِنْكُمْ whoever amongst you, he basically shows this allegiance and loyalty to them, then indeed he is from among them. And so that verse continues, is like a long passage. It goes on for 4 or 5 verses, and it ends, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed your wali, indeed your ally is Allah and His Messenger and those who believe. That's just a long passage in Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and also the statement of the Exalted, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. O you who believe, do not take your fathers or your brethren, your brothers, as allies, as friends and protectors, as intimate friends, if they prefer disbelief, if they love disbelief over Iman. And there's actually 2 verses there. And then another passage, another verse, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. And it continues, وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ, to the end of the ayah. So he says, O you who believe, he says, you will not find a people, believing in Allah and the last day, showing affection to the one who opposes Allah, who contends with Allah and His Messenger, even if they were the fathers or their children, or their brethren, or their relatives, to the end of the ayah. And also, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Exalted, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. O you who believe, do not take my enemy and your enemy as friends and protectors. And there are, to the end of the chapter, the Surah Al-Mumtahina. And there are other ayat as well. Now here we have the statement of Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh Hafidhahullah connected to this point. And so he says that the word of Tawheed, when we say Kalima La ilaha illallah, this Kalima is, it incorporates within it Al-Wala wal-Bara by necessity, right? Within it. And that's why some of the scholars, they add this issue as an 8th condition, by necessity, right? Al-kufr bit-taghut, to reject belief in al-taghut, and to have bara'a min al-shirki wa ahlihi, to free oneself from shirk and its people. So he says this is incorporated within the kalima itself. And this returns back to what Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his people, indeed, I am free from you and that which you worship, except the one who originated me. That's the meaning of the kalima. So he says it comprises al-wala wal-bara, which is al-muwalat wal-mu'adat. Al-muwalat wal-mu'adat, which means loyalty and disloyalty. Now, he goes on to explain importantly that when we speak of al-wala wal-bara, there are 2 elements to it. There's one element of it which, without which, if a Muslim does not have, if a person does not have, then his very Islam is not valid, right? So when we speak of al-wala wal-bara, from it is an element or a part which would validate your Islam, meaning that without it, you have no Islam. And you know, which without which Islam cannot be valid. And there is another part of it, al-wala wal-bara, which is obligatory. it's counted as obligatory, and it isn't required to validate your Islam, meaning to make your Islam to be valid. Now, he says this obligatory aspect of it is from the angle of basically, you know, love and hate in certain situations. And so he goes on to explain, so okay, the part that is required for your Islam to be valid is that you love Tawheed and you hate Shirk. Right? So you love Tawheed and you hate Shirk. This is the part of it without which your Islam cannot be valid. Right? So you have to hate Shirk, that Shirk is committed. You hate Shirk in principle. What is Shirk? That others are worshipped alongside Allah. Because this is the greatest injustice. This is like, you know, this is like someone worshipping a cat. This is like someone being grateful to a cat instead of his parents. Right, his parents deserve the gratitude for raising him, but instead he goes and shows gratitude to the cat. This is the foolishness of the mind. This is just stupidity. This is the greatest injustice and the greatest foolishness. So all of shirk, this is essentially what it is. That instead of being grateful to Allah and worshipping Allah, you worship something that he created. This is foolishness. So a person has to hate that injustice. This is the greatest injustice. And you have to love Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, which is the greatest justice. Right? So without this aspect of the love and the hate, which translates outwardly into loyalty and disloyalty, this is the part of it without which your Islam cannot be valid. Okay. Now, from this point onwards, and this is something that is obviously present in the heart. Now, from here, this is the meaning of al-wala wal-bara, and this is the foundation. This is the foundation of Islam. And he then says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَهُ حُبٌّ لِلْتَوْحِيدِ وَبُغْضٌ لِلْشِرْكِ فَلَا إِسْلَامَ لَهُ أَصْلًا. Right? So the one who does not have love of Tawheed in its foundation and hatred of Shirk, then he has no Islam to begin with. Right? Now, he says, this is opposed to the issue بخلاف محبت أهل التوحيد ومحبت أهل الشرك ونحو ذلك فهذه فيها أحوال وتفصيلات. Right? So this is different now to the issue of loving the people of Tawheed and hating the people of Shirk. Loving the people of Tawheed and loving the people of Shirk. Right. This issue here now is, this has like certain scenarios and certain details that we need to look into. We cannot say about loving the people of Tawheed and loving the people of Shirk that it enters into the same asal as loving Tawheed itself and hating Shirk, or loving Shirk, whichever way you want to look at it. Right? There are some actual details, there's some tafaseel to this issue. Right? So that's what the Shaykh mentioned. But just to elaborate upon what the Shaykh basically said, that's the end of what Shaykh Saleh al-Sheikh says on that issue. So just to give some detail to what the Shaykh said then. So basically the scholars, they mention in the tafaseel, in the details of this issue, that first of all, we have to distinguish between what is called at-tawalli and al-muwalat, right? Al-tawalli wal-muwalat. And all of these are based upon ayat in the Quran. So the first one is what we call at-tawalli. At-tawalli is when when you aid and assist the people of disbelief over the people of Islam because of love for the people of disbelief and their religion. Right? Right? This is called At-Tawalli. At-Tawalli. At-Tawalli, it kind of means like desertion, turning your back and then supporting, you know, someone else. Like here it means that someone who claims to be a Muslim and he aids and supports a non-Muslims over the Muslims because of love for the religion of the non-Muslims and because he wants to see the religion of the non-Muslims to dominate and to be superior and to be victorious over the religion of the Muslims, right? That's a very specific, clear scenario, right? Which is clear disbelief. When it comes to, here we're speaking about looking at actions of people, right? That which is the asl of Islam is to love Tawheed and to hate Shirk. This is something in the heart, right? Without which there can be no Islam. So this is clear and very, very, very clear. But when it comes to looking at loving and hating, like people, loving and hating people and actions which are done, there are some details, there are some tafaseel that we have to be very clear about so we don't fall into mistakes. Right? So the first scenario is what? It is At-Tawalli. At-Tawalli. What is At-Tawalli? At-Tawalli is, as we said, it is when a person shows aid and support for a non-Muslim, you know, could be in a battle, could be something, against the Muslims, and he does it because of love for the religion of the people of disbelief and wanting that to dominate the religion of the Muslims. Right? That scenario there, a very specific scenario, then that constitutes major kufr, that constitutes disbelief. Okay? Alhamdulillah. So this is the first scenario. Now the second scenario, or the second category, is what we call al-muwalat. Al-muwalat. Al-muwalat, this is like a type of outward, like loyalty that you show in a situation, but without it entailing disbelief. Now I will give you, and you do this because of a worldly reason. This is for a worldly reason. It is not because you love kufr and its people and you want them to dominate the Muslims. No, it's for a worldly consideration. And the example which is given by the scholars of the Muslims and the mashayikh of the da'wah to Tawheed, the example that they give is an example which actually happened in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a companion by the name of Hatib bin Abi Balta'a. And this companion, what happened is that he had family in Mecca, he had relatives in Mecca, and as you know, in Mecca the Muslims were being oppressed and harassed, and you know, maybe their homes were taken and their businesses were taken, so they're being harassed and deprived in many ways, economically and other ways, and harmed and harassed, and physically, you know, harmed as well. So what Hatib came to know obviously he knew some of the intentions or plans of war that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had. So what he did was, in order to gain a favor with the pagans of Mecca, he revealed to them some of those secrets by way of writing. Right? He sent them in a writing through a messenger to be sent to the pagans of Mecca. And he did that because to carry favor with them so that they in turn would be like wouldn't oppress, or you know, some worldly issue to do with his relatives or property or some issue like that in his, you know, in Mecca. However, that messenger got intercepted and some of the companions found out. And then, you know, they were shocked, and so they informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And then they brought Hatib. Some of the companions accused him of, you know, of disbelief, hypocrisy. And so the Messenger of Allah asked him, you know, why did you do this? And he said, I did not do this out of disbelief or, you know, hatred of Islam, but I have relatives in Mecca, and I was, you know, just trying to carry a favor with the polytheists. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave him. And from this incident, the scholars state that this is evidence that this is not disbelief, that when you show loyalty and you show outward allegiance to the people of disbelief, and it is not because of love for their religion or for wanting them to be uppermost, but it is for a worldly consideration. A worldly consideration. Why? Because he wanted some favor and to relieve some suffering or oppression from his relatives or, you know, relatives, family. Then this is not disbelief. So this is what we call al-muwalat. And the ruling upon it is that it is forbidden. It is unlawful. If you fall into it, you are sinful. But it is not the major disbelief. Right? Now we have to make these distinctions because this is the area where the people of takfir, the khawarij, and the people of takfir, people like that, they do not understand these issues, even though they are clearly explained in the books of the mashayikh of the da'wah of to tawheed. They go there and they try to make their own conclusions, and they make mistakes like this. And as on the basis of this, they make takfir of whole nations, of all rulers, of governments, because of issues they don't quite understand, right? So that's the second situation. Now a third scenario and a third situation is connected to this, is the issue of al-isti'ana, which is simply a seeking the aid and the assistance of the people of disbelief in certain things, in certain affairs. It could be in a battle, it could be other things. For example, it could be, let's say, for example, there's a flood or a disaster, and the Muslim ruler might ask for the assistance of non-Muslim nations for relief, for expertise, to, you know, whatever it might be. This we can generally say is called isti'ana. What about seeking the aid and the assistance of the people of disbelief? And this also the scholars discuss, and, you know, there's various scenarios, and they discuss it, and they say that it's permitted under certain, in certain scenarios and conditions. The Messenger of Allah himself used to seek the aid, for example, of polytheists, as like, you know, he would hire or rent, you know, things from the people of disbelief, whether it is armor, like a shield, or whether it is seeking the assistance of a polytheist to be a scout or a guide in an expedition, things like that. So from that, the scholars derive that it is permissible to seek the assistance, aid, and services of the people of disbelief in certain specific scenarios, right? So once again, this is something that the Sharia permits. The ruling on it is permissible. However, once again, the Khawarij and the Takfiris, they will look at this situation and they will treat that to be as if it is al-muwalat, if not tawalli. And then we'll make judgments of takfir and so on and so forth. That's the third scenario. And the fourth scenario is when we simply have situations in which the ruler, or even a Muslim, any Muslim, he basically shows good behavior and benevolence, and he gives gifts to a non-Muslim, could be a non-Muslim relative. It can happen at the individual level, which is you and your non-Muslim parent, or your non-Muslim sibling, or your non-Muslim child or something, and, you know, it could be a neighbor, could be something, and you're giving gifts, not because of the other reasons, not because of love of the religion or anything, but it is from the angle of softening the heart. It could also be from the angle of mudarat, or at-tuqa, which means to ward off any potential harm, or to behave diplomatically, right? All of this is something that is actual permissible, and it does not enter into muwalat. Right? This can happen at the individual level. It can also happen at the state level with the ruler. For example, the ruler, he might give gifts and he might, you know, send gifts to another nation because it's from the angle of maintaining cordial relations. It could be, there could be trade relations. It could be because they want not, they don't want that nation to turn against them from the angle of, you know, diplomacy and, you know, negotiation in the international scene. All of these things, this is in the hands of the ruler, that they can do this, right? They have the, and it's not counted as muwalat. It's counted as mudarat, which is kind of diplomatic relationship, or at-tuqah, another thing, which is basically just, you know, trying to protect oneself. All of this is perfectly permissible. So these are four, like, scenarios: at-tawalli, al-muwalat, al-isti'ana, and, you know, we can call the fourth one, you know, giving gifts and diplomatic relations, things like that. This is what the scholars, they basically speak of, and they have tafasil in this issue. Now, we see that these issues actually happened shortly after the time of Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. There was a group of men, group of individuals, led by two men, and they came and they actually started making takfir of some of the rulers because they were giving gifts to some of the non-Muslim rulers, and they were like doing some of the things like this. And they were brought, they were advised, and, you know, so it's not as if these doubts and these misconceptions are something new. They existed in the time of the offspring of Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. And this shows that those people, like today, you have those takfiris and khawarij, like you have this Abu Muhammad al-Maqdisi, and you have Abu Qatad, and you have these other takfiris and khawarij, and they claim, oh, no, we are taking this directly from the sheikhs of the dawah. We've gone to Ad-Durar al-Saniyah, we've read the books, and this is what we found in there. Oh, no, you didn't. You know, you haven't gone to the offspring of those scholars and took the knowledge from them. You've just gone there and you've just tried to justify your takfiri manhaj on the basis of your readings. And there were people like you, just like you, in the time of those scholars who fell into exactly the same things. And they were refuted by the offspring of Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. So we have to be careful about these things and you know, these issues. Because the scholars have clarified them and made them very, very clear, leaving no ambiguity and no doubt. So then we come to Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah, and his commentary upon this issue of al-mu'alat wal-mu'adat. So Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakimi quoted a lot of verses, lengthy verses. We summarized them earlier on. And so here Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi, he says, these ayat contain evidence that al-mu'adat wal-mu'alat lillah fardun ala kulli muslim, right? This is an actual obligation. Al-mu'alat wal-mu'adat, which is loyalty and disloyalty, which is, you know, loyalty and enmity. He says it's not permissible that anyone can show, like, this type of allegiance, this type of tawalli, right? Where you know, for someone who hates or is an enemy to Allah and His Messenger, and to anyone who commits major shirk. There is no doubt that this individual who commits major shirk, that he has opposed and contended with Allah and His Messenger, you know, with his shirk. And it is not permissible for us that we have loyalty and allegiance towards him, or that we take him as a model, as a guide, or that we take him as a leader or anything like that. And this is what we find, unfortunately, we find from the Hizbiyin often, you know, towards the people of shirk, meaning like the grave worshippers and their leaders and their scholars and people like that. So he says, for that reason, he actually mentions statements from a number of people of misguidance. He says, for example, one of them said, that whoever testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, I am not permitted to show enmity towards anyone who does this. You know, even if he had anything of oppositions, which are innovations and shirk. Now this is misguidance, because you are obligated in the Quran and the Sunnah that when someone is committing actual shirk with the Lord of the worlds, even if he professes La ilaha illallah and he prays and fasts and does Hajj and Umrah and gives charity and whatever else, but he's doing actual shirk with the Lord of the worlds, he's calling upon, you know, he's invoking Ali, and he's invoking Ali for madad, for aid, for example, or he's invoking some other ghawth or wali, you know, one who saves and rescues and you know, whatever, and he's invoking him, save me, heal me, cure me, give me sustenance, my wife is barren, grant her a child, or whatever, and he's invoking, this is the actual major shirk, and so these people, you know, we have to hate what they are doing. And you know, we cannot show this loyalty towards like these people, and like some people who likewise they're confused about the Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila, Ash'ariyyah, you know, and not really. This is a violation of this principle that we have to make wala wal bara on the basis of the kalima and what it necessitates, which means everything which comes under it, which is the creed, the aqidah. And likewise, the sharia, the legislation, right? So what is important, the Shaykh goes on to say, that the one that which is obligatory upon every Muslim, and yuwali fillah, he shows loyalty for Allah, wa an yu'adi fillah, and that he shows enmity for Allah. It's not permissible, wala yujuz lahu an yatawalla al-mushrikeen wal-kafireen wal-mubtadi'een. We're not allowed to show this the tawalli, this loyalty allegiance toward the mushrikeen or the kafirin or the mubtadi'ah, that type of close, intimate love. And you know, if one of you is compelled to interact, or you know, because we have dealings, obviously we have dealings, فَلَا يَجُوزْ أَنْ يُعْطِيَهُ الْمَحَبَّ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. So when we have these dealings, we don't do so on the basis of like some affection and love, you know, from the hearts. Rather, بَلْ يَجِبُ عَلِيهِ أَنْ يَكْرَهَ مَا هُوَ فِيهِ. But rather, it's obligatory upon him to hate that which he's upon, to dislike what he's upon. وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most, the strongest handhold of Islam is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. And what this means is that if you enact this principle of loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah, this will actually be a protection for the rest of your religion. It will make your connection and your tie to Allah strong and will protect the rest of your religion from being eroded and undermined and cut off. So if you love for the sake of Allah, very simple principle, you love for the sake of Allah and you hate for the sake of Allah, and you have this at the front of your mind, then that will make you love obedience and keep away from disobedience. It will make you keep the right company and keep away from the evil company. It will make you abide by the limits. And that's why it has been described here, these two feelings of love and hate, as the strongest handhold of Iman. Likewise, in another narration from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li Abi Dhar, he said to Abu Dhar, the Messenger of Allah said to Abu Dhar, ayyu ura al-Iman adhunnuhu qal awthaqu, which are the handholds of Islam, or you know, the awthaqu, the strongest. So Abu Dhar said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, Al-Muwalat fillah, wal-Mu'adat fillah, wal-Hubbu fillah, wal-Bughdu fillah. It is loyalty for the sake of Allah, enmity for the sake of Allah, or allegiance and loyalty and disloyalty for the sake of Allah, wal-Hubbu fillah, wal-Bughdu fillah, and love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. Now, this brings us to the end of that question, and we'll stop at that point. So just to add to that, obviously, we've mentioned this many times before as well, that in our dealings with the people of, you know, those who are non-Muslim, who are people of disbelief, then we our interactions are on the basis of justice. It is al-adl wal-qist, right? Which is, you know, justice. And we're not allowed to oppress anyone merely because of, you know, what he's upon. Even if he's a mushrik, we're not allowed to oppress him, to cheat him, to do anything like that, because this is prohibited in our religion. And we see in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal said that He does not prohibit you from those who do not fight you for your religion and not expel you from your home, from your homes, and tabarruhum, that you are benevolent and you know, nice, to good behavior with them, and that you deal justly towards them, that you are just in your dealings with them. So this is the basis of our interaction with everybody. But we have the right as Muslims to love truth and tawheed and the people of tawheed and what we consider to be the truth, and the right also to hate what we dislike and consider to be batil and falsehood, right? Which is, you know, shirk and kufr and, you know, ma'asi and bid'ah and whatever else, right? So mere love and hate in itself is not like, because this is what they are trying to erase, right? Which is the issue of love and hate. But love and hate, everybody by necessity has to love and hate. Everybody loves and hates, right? By necessity, the people of disbelief have love and hate for things. The Yahud have love and hate for things. Everybody else has love and hate. You cannot erase love and hate. But is that love and hate, what is it based upon? Is it based upon haqq and batil, right? And that's where the issue lies. Tawheed is the haqq, right? Tawheed is the haqq. And obedience to Allah is the haqq. And obedience to the Messenger is the haqq, right? And around that, love around that and hate around that is the haqq. But as for everything else, you hate other people because you think you're chosen and you've got special genes, right? This is batil. You are hating other people on the basis of batil, right? And you hate other people because, you know, you are, maybe you believe you are racially superior because you are white, and these Africans and these, you know, these South Americans, the Negroes, and these are the people that they, you know, they're somehow inferior. You hate them on that basis, which you do hate them. You just hide it, but you do hate them. You know, it's we're not in the racism of the 18th, 19th centuries. We're now in the racism of the 21st century, which is where outwardly you pretend to be, you know, but really inwardly you have all these schemes and mechanisms of where you're trying to cause their birth rates to decline, and you know all sorts of things, right? You have that as well. You do it, but you don't say it. You have this hatred, but you don't say it. Right, you hate, you have loyalty and allegiance, right? You have allegiance and loyalty to people who are bombing men, women, and children in rubble, and you are arming them and you are supporting them. This is love. This is loyalty. This is explicit loyalty and absolute hatred of those men, women, and children who are being bombed and pulverized, and they are Muslim. You have love and hatred. Of course, you have it. So how can you expect, how can you demand and say, oh, this is extremism, this is batil, sorry, we don't accept it for your lies and your deception, your treachery. No, right? Everybody loves and hates, and it's on display for everybody to see. And we as Muslims, we love and hate as well. We love tawheed, we hate shirk, we love obedience to Allah, we hate disobedience to Allah, we love righteousness to parents, we love justice, we love prayer, we love remembrance, we love all these things because they are truth and they rectify. And we hate what is injustice. You know, we hate usury, we hate lying, we hate cheating, we hate deception, we hate fornication, we hate adultery, we hate everything which is corrupt and filth, which degrades society. And that's our religion. So on that note, we'll finish. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.